Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. It contains content that may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion is advised. All Nerdy Show podcasts are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Discover the many ways you can join in at nerdyshow.com. Hey everybody, happy quarantine. This is Josh, your host of RPG From Scratch. And with me today, I've got Liam.
Suck it.
And Max.
Or don't.
So we're doing well. We're all still happy and healthy, though very much separate still. And we are still making this game, still chugging along. And we're also moving to a online stream of the game, the same place that you find Leyliners, twitch.tv/RPGFromScratch. And we're going to be doing a remote campaign using, so far, Tabletop Simulator.
Based on the Adam Sandler movie Click, because it's a remote campaign.
So that is a funny joke, but it's also not true, and I don't want people who've seen that movie to not join our stream.
Or people who like that movie, they could fuck off too.
Yeah, it's true. Anyone who liked that movie, don't watch our stream. That's not true. I think I did watch it and enjoy it because I like stupid Adam Sandler movies, with the exception of Jack and Jill.
Jack and Jill is near unwatchable.
Don't Mess with the Zohan is one of my favorite.
Yeah, that movie's amazing.
Yeah.
That one, and what was the Sacha Baron Cohen one that was kind of in the same vein? The Dictator?
Yes.
Fuck, that movie's funny.
I love Jason Mantzoukas.
So anyway, you can find the live stream at twitch.tv/RPGFromScratch.
That's right. Check us out there. We're doing an isolation-based campaign where our heroes are very much unable to be in close proximity to other people. We'll be heavily involving chat and the perils that the heroes will face. So back on the horse with designing our game, step six. So,
yes.
So far we've done Citadel, Death, and Ice, as well as one of the Step 6 Zealotry.
Do you want to do another Zealot?
We can.
We gotta burn through some of them Zealotry ones, baby.
Yeah.
Let's burn them.
There's also Radiance and Scoundrel, Command and Champion, and Fire.
We have, like, what, five more Radiance full steps, essentially, to do?
What do you mean?
Like, to release this, the fact that any of them could be used at any time.
Oh, Zealotry, you mean?
Yeah.
No, not really. I mean, we can include the ones as we come up with them. You know what I mean? As we improve the rule book. Fire has step five, so we haven't done step six fire.
All right.
Something burny.
Yeah, maybe they should use... maybe fire?
Feel the burn. Mm.
Some kind of fire-based ability.
Like pocket sand, but fire?
Yeah, I think...
The last one was a charged explosion, right?
Yeah, it's a coronal detonation.
Do they damage themselves from that?
I don't think they do.
Okay.
Let me see. It doesn't say that doesn't... Well, but other things wouldn't damage you either. No, they don't take damage from it. How about some form of evasion? I mean, core fire gets to add their strength to their dodge,
mm-hmm.
as well as their damage, but... How about they don't have true evasion, and people who are not core fire won't get any.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of... I like the idea that, like, the dancing flame of fire is...
Just straight Bakugo it?
Oh, from
My Hero.
Boku no Hero?
What?
Yeah.
It's from an anime.
Oh, nice. Okay. What does it mean?
He explodes all the time.
No, okay.
His sweat is explosive.
Yeah, and he just uses it to blast around everywhere. Really fast. When you first said Bakugo, I thought you were talking about the Byakugan,
no.
which is another Naruto.
I think that's a fighting tournament I won in the woods
with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
No, it was real.
Jean-Claude Van Damme confirmed as not real.
How dare you insinuate that the events of the movie The Quest, of the movie Kickboxer, and of the movie Bloodsport. Are not just a documentary.
Oh, they will be soon.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is a cryptid, confirmed.
So what kind of evasion? Maybe we could call it Dancing Flame or something like that. Where I like the trope of relying on having hit with fire being something that makes you better at things. So should it be evasion against the target you've already hit or just that you've hit a target?
I think it's that you hit a target because it's not like you're confusing or flaring them. It's the rhythm. It's the motion. It's the the combo effect.
Okay. So what kind of evasion? Because just increasing dodge is good. It's good, but it's not really flavorful. Like mechanically, you could say it. You know, he gets all woo. You know, he starts doing the thing with his shoulders like they do in Cats, and they're like, that's why he's hard to hit. But I don't think that's not the flavor of fire.
Well, dancing is fire.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could add like an increase to dodge and a disengagement movement, like a prepped one.
Yeah, without provoking, because the enemy would be mesmerized by the movement.
I like that. It sounds a bit just the idea of stepping on scoundrel's toes a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have something where if you miss them, they can disengage.
Oh, I'm saying you hit them, you get to disengage.
Oh, you just start a fire to disengage.
There's a spell in D&D and Pathfinder called Sanctuary. Are you guys familiar with this?
No.
I only know Tasha's Hideous Laughter.
I only know Mordenkainen's Watchdog.
You don't know the Flying Disc?
I know Flying Disc. I don't have any spell slots for it right now, but I know it.
Yeah, Tensor's Flying Disc, right? I think that's what it is. Anyway, Sanctuary is a spell you cast on a target, and in order for somebody to attack that target, they have to pass a will save every attack.
Okay.
For instance, if I want to hit a target with Sanctuary, I have to declare that I'm trying to attack it. Then I have to perform a will save, and if I fail the will save, I cannot attack it. I can't take an intentionally targeted action against that character.
Can you
What's the reward?
Do you expend your action to do that?
No, you just can't. You can't take that action.
Okay.
So you have to do something else. The only reason I bring it up is because that mechanic is evasion without just being a plus whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something similar like that could be good. Like something that just people generally don't want to walk face first into fire. You know?
Yeah.
So. But the way Sanctuary works is if that target makes any
aggressive movement,
anything like that, that effect ends on them, and everybody can attack them as normal. So what if we make it, because that I think Sanctuary, as it works, any analog of that for fire is going to be too strong.
Yeah.
But also the idea that fire is not going to take an aggressive action is absurd. Like, that's the only.
No,
thing
in fact,
you
have
do.
You have to do the opposite. Exactly. You have to reward successful aggressive actions.
Exactly. So what if we do a tamer version of the benefit without nerfing their ability to keep attacking?
Well, how about we do it where it scales with consecutive hits? So rather than being a general will save, it's more like, you know, you hit once and there's a 25% chance that you just can't concentrate on it, or it's the fire is moving. And then for each consecutive hit, it's bumped up 5% to a max of 50.
Mm-hmm. And that would be, I mean, you could just say a plus percentage. We haven't used percentile die in our system, but we can make an analog.
You know, you can make it a save, but not give it a direct. I don't know if it would be. I guess it would be composure. That makes sense.
Yeah, composure or endurance.
Endurance.
Ooh, that would be a good one.
I think endurance for melee.
Because they have to get close to you. Like,
they have to get close to you and just take it.
Yeah, you're building up heat. And for somebody to attack you, they need to. What if it's the haze of heat coming off of you? You know,
ooh, yeah,
like the heat mirage, we could call it.
Well, I would think there would even be like the way that you cast your spells is just becoming way more flowery, and kind of like almost like firebendery kind of way. There'd be wavy heat, but there'd also be like weird flashes of fire. It'd be just difficult to get a bead on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I like the idea. It's just hard to. It's hard on your eyes to be that close to the heat.
Yeah.
Not because it's bright, but because it's hard to be that close to a fire, you know, like, and keep your eyes open.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like that. I do kind of like calling it heat mirage, though.
That's good.
We could do that instead of dancing flame, because You can put whatever flavor you want on it. So what's the benefit?
What if it's just the opposite of you can only attack me? You're basically a porcupine.
Yeah, it's just hard to even focus on you. Like, in order to be able to attack you.
This would be a major benefit to a caster who has someone up in their face. Mm-hmm. Become a fire porcupine.
I think it would be each consecutive hit with a fire-based attack, because you can't swing your sword and do it, that you just gain a plus one to whatever the save needed to is, and the save should just start pretty moderate and have a cap that isn't insane. Like, it should never go past 50%, ever.
Well, let's just use raw d20 numbers then. So we'll say, in order to attack you, somebody needs to make an endurance save. Somebody needs to make an endurance check to beat your composure defense. Your composure defense against melee attacks, or not melee attacks, should only be melee because they're so close to you and it's just hard.
I don't know. I've even figured heat mirage would just make you bendy and hard to, like, it would put you at a weird place to see. But if you want to do just melee attacks, that's fine.
Because as fire, you're not really that concerned, I think, against range attacks that much. Right?
You're very. That's actually the only thing that hits me.
Yeah, but I mean, that's if melee was bunching up on you, like everybody,
I'd be dead.
Yeah, you'd be dead. Yeah. So, well, let's make it, because there's no reason why. I don't know. I guess if we just increased your dodge, then, like, yeah, an ice mage from a distance would have a hard time hitting you, but it's not the same as having to overcome just the heat you're putting off.
Should it just even, like, you got two hits in a row, you get one to dodge, but that's it?
I'd like for it to be progressive over the course. Cause
well, no, I'm saying for ranged. That would be the ranged take.
We could just make it a straight plus to dodge then. Like,
I like the faux sanctuary idea, but I think that should be melee exclusive, but I think there should be a range component. But how do we set it up that it's not super wordy and complicated?
Good point.
So my initial thought was, if somebody wants to attack you in melee, they have to first make an endurance check to overcome your composure defense. For every stack you get of heat mirage, your composure defense against this effect increases by one. For the purposes of overcoming this effect, increases by one. And it's only consecutive attacks, and it drops if you miss one. You know, like, and I like that it's consecutive attacks because area attacks don't count, right? Like,
okay.
If you hit anyone with it, it counts as one.
Is it too simple to say plus to hit, plus to dodge, because you're basically becoming a small sun?
Increasing your plus to hit doesn't make sense just for this. We might do something in step six for them.
The distraction
also
of you
that,
being...
that already exists. Yeah. It is a core feature, I think.
I'm just trying to make it simple.
Well, let's make it just to target you. How about that? To use a targeted ability against you. If any area abilities, and if somebody runs in and just does a sweeping attack with a weapon, it doesn't have to do that at all. It's just to target you. They have to make an endurance check that overcomes your composure defense. So do you gain a stack of heat mirage the way you did with ice and frostbite?
Yeah.
So, okay, you get a stack of heat mirage. Your composure defense increases by one for the check for heat mirage.
Yes.
Let's say up to a maximum of your level. Would that work?
That's actually great. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Up to a plus five then, if you're step six.
Yeah.
But the earliest you get it anyway.
And then also it has a natural scaling ability.
Mm.
And that's always great.
Okay. All right. Now we'll say, I don't think that flame orbs should count for this.
No.
So we'll say your targeted... attack actions. Just attack actions.
Yes.
Okay. I like that.
But, like, including, like, Pillar of Flame.
Yes. Yes.
Rogue Star.
So not targeted, just attack actions that hit.
Yeah, but the fire enchantment, that doesn't count.
No.
That's not building.
Mm-mm.
Are you guys trying to trick me into doing something anime here? This guy starts to catch on fire and gets stronger and stronger as he hits.
Is that an anime specifically thing? I think that's Human Torch, right? Like, that's...
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. There's probably a lot of characters that do that.
I'm just thinking.
That's pretty good. How about a little damage boost, too?
Okay.
Something small. Just something small to throw in there, too.
Okay, well, last time they got Torchblade and Coronal Detonation, but at step four they got Focus Fire. So it's a damage increase against single larger single targets when they do an area attack. What's something that would be an indirect damage increase instead of just ramping up, right? Like,
Not a straight. Also, I like the idea that it has to be triggered and it has to affect. It has to feed into the steps you're taking.
We could do something where you can make somebody vulnerable to fire.
I like that. That's good.
Where it reduces, because if you're using a staff, you're already got an advantage against armor. So,
how about this? Just this is along the same focus fire route. For every consecutive hit on a specific target, you have to continue hit them. They get vulnerability to fire one equal to your strength max.
That could be good. The only problem with it being strength is that strength is only referenced in the core of fire and nowhere else.
You're right.
So you could opt out of strength entirely. That could be good. I was almost thinking just roll a d4. Like, target.
It's a one-turn thing. Okay, yeah.
Well, I think, I think it's probably like a per scene ability. You make an attack against that target using any attack action you have. Mm-hmm. Right, it's a utility ability. If it hits, the target gets a D4 vulnerability to fire and a minus D4 to its dodge against fire attacks.
Ooh, that's
heavy. I like that.
Or attacks that deal fire damage. So then you could buff everybody with.
Ooh,
I like that.
That's good, but I think that might be too heavy.
Yeah, that's we're pretty far.
We are in the realm of.
Yeah, all right, superheroes. We can try it.
I think rewarding, you know, when you get that new power.
Yeah, I think those two things would be a good D6, or that'd be a good. So it's single target only. We'll say you hit with it. It'll be a per scene ability. It lasts until the end of the scene. Maybe you can decide after you've hit the target. Was that too good?
Whether it's dodge or damage increase.
No. Whether or not you to apply.
No, you can't do it after. No.
So you have to try as part of the casting. Okay.
Yes. And it definitely can be wasted if you miss.
Yeah, because you want to spend momentum to get this to land. Like that's because it's gonna massively affect. But it's only one target. You roll a D4 and they get minus to dodge against attacks that deal fire damage, that amount, and then minus, they get vulnerability that many to fire.
That's gonna make some cool scenes in game.
Yeah.
Think this should be called like oil something. Like you put oil in it.
Or like accelerant, you know? Like
Accelerant. I like that. Good.
But what do they call, was it Greek fire or whatever?
Straight call it Greek fire. Awesome.
Who are the Greeks?
They're Fishmen.
Well, Greek fire burns underwater. Let's save that for something else. Like something that things continue to burn. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
Something with the property of accelerant. What does it mean if somebody or an object is
naphtha?
Extremely flammable?
Naphtha is one of the chemicals that burns.
Napalm death.
Combustible. Ooh, ignitable. Maybe something like just ignition, you know.
I like it. That's a good.
Just how do you feel about that, Max?
Yeah. Okay.
The remix edition.
Why am I blanking on this? When I'm reloading, I put a cap in the back of the brass, and why can't I remember what that's called?
Primer.
Ooh, priming shot, primer. Something like that.
I like it.
Because you are priming like this target for fire, right?
Priming shot.
Juice.
You say ignition primer.
I like primer better than ignition. Now I do too. Both.
I think just call it Well, it needs to be priming something, right? Because you're adding it to your attack that you're about to do.
Kindle.
You are kind of you're kind of tagging them too, right? Like you're let me see.
Tinder.
Priming mark.
Because it's with an attack though.
Yeah.
Priming hit.
Yeah. Priming shot.
Priming Boom. Shot. Done.
All right. So priming shot. It's a per scene ability. It's a swift action. You do it before an attack you're going to make this round.
Mm-hmm.
If that attack hits, roll a d4. Target gets a d4 negative to its dodge to dodge attacks that deal fire damage and vulnerability d4 to fire.
I like the idea of it that it's an attack that has something in it that sprinkles on you. So even in attacks that generally would miss you, just get you hot enough for it to continue to burn.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
Yeah. I like that. I don't think they need anything else.
That's a great 1-2 punch of survivability and damage.
And both things you'll use the every fight. Like you wouldn't never not use them. Okay. I like that a lot. Priming shot and heat mirage. Good. I think that's a good step 6 for fire.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do Zealotry next. How do we feel about doing the Halo?
Halo's good.
So if you didn't pick wings, right? And you want something different, but it's not something that does what wings do just in a different way, mm-hmm. right? You don't want to just have 6 pads that do the same thing in a different flavor, or 5 rather. I'm thinking like a beam attack and then some kind of
Well, the wings were mobility and attack mm-hmm. oriented.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So let's do something that there should almost always be an attack element to it, just because that's what that path is.
I think a beam is good for Halo, and then something about status effects, right? So a boon for allies and a bane for enemies.
That's good.
Is it like phalanx?
Could be. Or
I would say a boon to healing, whether you're the one casting or not, to your enemy to your allies, and a bane to healing, or just any regeneration at all to your enemies.
Well, certainly a bane on morale.
Yes,
right? And maybe a boon to morale. Maybe just the boon is all of your group's defenses go up. Mm-hmm. You know, like so all their defenses for every stat go up by maybe 2. You know, like that would be huge.
Yeah.
And
that would be major.
You and all allies who can see you, because that's the,
yeah,
like proximity isn't as close as the ability to see the person that has a fucking halo, is on your side. And then the bane would be, I don't just want the inverse, the direct inverse, right? Enemies have to roll twice and use the.
Ooh, that's just adding a lot of rolling.
Yeah.
Oh, how about this? Rather than them having to do it all the time, the only time they have to roll twice is when they critically hit. They just hit critically less.
Ooh,
interesting.
That's painful. It's.
I like that. Enemies have to
so
roll.
It's not,
when an enemy crits, he has to roll again. And use
and hit you.
Well, no, and just he has to roll again and use the second result, period. Like, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no, yeah, perfect, great.
Yeah, if he hits you with a crit, and then he crits again, sorry, buddy, you're crit.
Yeah, you're like, crit.
you're crit.
That's
Halo ain't gonna do nothing about that.
Nope. Yeah, that guy really hurt you. Maybe some way to mark people, like to see them. Maybe just you hit them with this. Maybe it's the beam attack. If you hit them with this beam attack for 2 rounds, they cannot gain cover or concealment.
Perfect.
Like that could work. So it needs to be decent damage, right? Okay. I'll look at the spreadsheet for where damage begins at that level, and I'll pick a good single target amount.
Could they provide damage to 1 target, so +3 to any damage done to that target, or plus whatever?
Yeah. You know what? We could lower the damage from the beam shot, right? And then that target cannot gain cover or concealment, and any ally who deals it damage, the next ally.
Yeah.
I like that.
The next ally who deals it damage does additional damage. And maybe it's the same amount that was from the beam shot, whatever that.
Because imagine you're in a darkened battlefield and all of a sudden you're lit up by blue light.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and archers is going to go, oh, yeah. That guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it has a long range. Like it's got a range of 20, which is like the real benefit. You could really tag somebody, because you being an archery zealot, this would be amazing.
Yeah.
So it's got a range of 20. And for 2 rounds, can't be granted cover concealment. Ignore any distance restrictions.
On ranged attacks. Nice.
And if an ally hits that enemy with a damaging attack, it does additional damage, which is it does tier whatever damage, which is the tier you did initially, and then the effect ends.
That's good.
Yeah.
So how about we remove the? Why don't we remove the round restriction then? Like, let's just make it.
Okay.
It deals the damage, and the next person to hit it gets extra damage, and the effect ends.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Perfect.
Works, right? Okay.
Because you might just want to tag somebody and then keep them lit up for a little bit.
Yeah. Or to chase them, you know, even if you're not trying to kill them, which is the Halo would be good at that, right? So we could call the Halo should be like I like to think of it like the Halo from 40K or the Eye of Sauron, you know,
like that.
Some kind of
a descriptive name for it, like the Slave Master's Crown or something. Good for chasing and illuminating running people.
Crown of Fire. Crown of War?
Yeah.
I do like crown, though.
Crown of Magnificence.
Oh, these were aspects. Aspect of Magnificence.
Oh, is it?
Remember? Because we did aspect.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right.
What was the other one? Was the aspect of...
Got it right here. It was virtue. Virtue of liberty.
Okay. How about virtue of nobility or virtue of magnificence?
I like those. Let me look up the other virtues as well real quick. Looking it up.
Never
here.
Forget.
Dignity.
Oh, I like that.
That's pretty good.
I don't know if that works for this specifically, but I like that in general.
Mm-hmm.
Truth is good. It makes you, it reveals the hidden.
Yeah.
Reverence. That's another one.
Oh, I like that.
Tenacity.
That should be like the armor or something.
There's vision as a virtue, you know, like having insight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like insight.
Virtue of insight.
Virtue of insight.
And then we'll do, it's the crown. Okay. So we've got a beam attack. It deals, what do we call it? It marks somebody, beacon bolt, something like that. I know that's a Magic the Gathering card now that I've said it.
What isn't a Magic the Gathering card?
True.
Flare.
Beacon of Judgment.
I like that.
Flare of Justice.
Beacon is so good because it's exactly what it does.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's Gondor calls for aid.
Balbox. Beacon.
Kind of like beacon bolt. Beacon beam.
Beacon ray. Beacon strike. Because it's so long range, I'm thinking of like artillery terms.
Yeah. Beacon bolt.
Cannon.
Cannon. Beacon beam.
Ballistic beacon.
Don't hate that.
Don't, except for melee characters can use it too.
Yeah.
You know, like it removes the range restriction for range attacks, but a melee character who hits them is going to get the benefit, you know, as well. They're going to deal extra damage.
I'm saying the attack, not the the secondary effect. Like it is a ranged attack.
Beacon blast.
I like Beacon Blast.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay. Beacon Blast. We'll do that. Now, all allies that can see you get a +2 to their attribute defenses. And we could call that one something like Inspiring Symbol, you know, or just because it describes you. You're an inspiring.
Shared vigor.
Well, the idea is that your presence is what's making them tougher because they can see you and what you represent. We could call it something like morale.
Espir de Cor.
That's not bad. Kind of like Symbol of Hope, you know?
Symbol of Hope's good.
How do you feel about
solid
that?
Solid descriptive.
Works for me.
And then we could say Symbol of Hope, it just gives that +2. And then we could say the bane that it puts on enemies who can see you would be like Herald.
It should be something that is generally used positive, but the actual definition of it is mixed.
Oh, see, I was thinking like Herald of Ruin, Herald of the End. I kind of like ruin, just because like you're gonna lose. It doesn't. It's not death and destruction. You know what I mean?
It's just we're marching, baby.
Mm-hmm. So Herald of Ruin is the roll crits twice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if you land a crit against them, the enemies, something else happens. You get to roll. No, you don't want an extra attack. Just something small, right? Like because those three things together will be punishing. Like just to have that person on the field, if you. Oh, how about whenever an enemy dies, all enemies who could see it take some kind of negative. You know what I mean?
Ooh, like a morale splash effect?
Yeah, just Herald of Ruin. Like, whenever an enemy dies, just how about everybody, like all enemies who can see it take -1 to dodge and do one fewer dodge and do one fewer damage. Well, one fewer is not enough. Because...
No, it's going to stack, right?
Yeah, but dodge doesn't scale and damage does. You know?
You're right.
So I like the they take a negative to dodge. Negative dodge and negative to hit.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just one and one.
Scale. Yep.
Okay. That's them done. Like, that's...
Yep.
All right. I like it. We got Beacon Blast and then Something of Hope and Herald of Ruin. Cool. Okay. So I want to do some world building. I was thinking about the upcoming campaign, the Isolation campaign. It takes place in the region of Sen. It's MTSEN. And while I want to take care of the local current population there, the ancient civilization that was built on the area where the caldera is that opens up to everyone else, I kind of want to world build who they were. We don't have to go through where they went or anything like that. Just what kind of technology they had, what races they were, and how their society worked, you know?
How many jumps back are they?
Yeah, let's get a how long ago
question. Two jumps? Going in
there. Well, one jump is just 176 years, right?
Yeah, it's the Savathians.
So let's go a little bit further than that, because they are actually under the ground, right? So there are a couple strata below.
I'm saying 5.
500 years sounds good to me.
I'm saying like 5 great civilizations back.
Oh, 5 great civilizations?
Yeah.
This is a million years in the future, so we can say 100,000 years ago.
But it's not so far back that there's like no memory of them. Like, there's books.
Well, let's go back to ancient Egypt, right? Like,
okay, the furthest like 7, you can 000? Go back?
Well, no, I mean, like, let's think about it in terms of, like, people know about them. There are relics.
It's about 8,000 years, 9,000 years.
Something like that. Yeah, long enough that nobody really knows what it was like.
Mm-hmm.
People have ideas, but there's a lot of folklore and new myths that incorporate them as like a boogeyman. Yeah.
For the and same it'll be thing. Preserved because it's underground, right?
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be just bugs, although that's fun if we just do bugs. But we could do, there were two underground races, right? It was bugs and...
Well, when you say bugs, like... Most things on the planet are bugs.
Well,
you know?
Tiktani is
20% of 20% of their population has died since 1990. There are 20% less bugs on this earth than there was in 1990.
Good.
No, it's actually really troubling.
No, I don't trust him.
So, do you want to make it primarily Tiktani? And who else was underground?
We could do Gelt, but it could be even something extinct.
Yeah. I kind of like to keep it to things that are relatable for the people, right? So, like, if we do Tiktani, I like that it's a race that still exists, that nobody has a connection to. Like, if it's a race that still exists, but there's no continuity between then and now, for just like the ancient Egyptians. Like, there's no continuity between ancient Egypt and modern-day Cairo. Like, there's something was dramatically lost between then. So what were they like? What was their technology like? Did they have magic? Did they use it? Were they, you know?
Definitely.
So magical bugs live underground. Maybe it was an entire chorus that was just totally lost.
Yeah, I like that.
So we could go the route of cave paintings.
Yeah, I was thinking a chorus, maybe a chorus that shut itself off.
Yeah, I like that idea. I guess any dominant civilization, if it becomes xenophobic enough, just fails, right? It just crumbles and collapses.
Yeah.
It could be the superiority thing where they don't really have any contact and they don't want any other contact. Maybe something, one of their myths. Oh, what about the army of the pillar? Like, you remember we have that doom that's coming?
Yeah.
We could have something where that's heavily involved. The only reason people know about that is because of their myths. Like, they had a myth that it was coming, and maybe that's the reason why they closed off and stuff. But clearly that's not real. That never happened, you know, but as far as anybody can tell.
I like it being a regional, like, myth, and then it just blows up into the world. Like, no, it's totally going to happen.
Yeah, like the Mayan calendar, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, the Mayans are gone, these guys are gone, but we find this calendar.
Maybe they got into other choruses?
I would say the chorus broke down.
Well, I'm saying maybe they sent out word that this Armageddon is coming to other choruses because they certainly believed it, like televangelism.
Well, I was thinking it would be on the, like, maybe they're really good at creating really durable, not megaliths. What do you call it when you inscribe on a stone, you know, and leave it for somewhere?
Carvings? Just
engraving, right? Carving.
Yeah, engravings. You know what I mean? Like a
fresco?
Monuments. Mm-hmm. Yeah, frescoes. How about that? There's a lot of frescoes that depict things, and that's why people like understand that that's what they were afraid of. Maybe because like the Clockwork Army of the Pillar is like something they're terribly afraid of. Maybe they are anti-technology, like Neo-Luddites.
I like
and
that.
Maybe that's why people don't want to come near them, because like anything metal starts to decay, and you know, or they've got ways of repelling, like they use like magical magnetism to repel anything with metal, and people get spooked.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. That's cool.
Or radiation, right? Radiation sticks around in metal more than anything else, right?
Yeah, but it's way more dangerous for not metal.
Yeah.
Like
maybe they just became
like if
the
you
Amish
were a robot and I was there, if me and a robot are hanging around in a place and it's radioactive, I'm screwed first.
We just watched the next gen episode, The Devil's Due.
What's that?
Where the highly advanced culture just spent 1,000 years not doing anything technological to fix their environment.
Was that the one where everybody's a clone?
No, this is it's the devil.
it's yeah. The devil.
Well, she's
okay. Got to do.
It's just a woman who said, "I'm the devil," and she like has a bunch of magic tricks, and she's fucking with Picard.
Oh.
She's trying to enslave people.
I don't remember that one.
Season 4?
I mean, I believe you. There's just a lot of Star Trek episodes.
Yeah, there is.
Literally,
next
we just watched
got tons.
Last night, Lauren's like, "I want to watch Next Gen," so.
I know you.
What if they're like the first, like the canary in the coal mine for AI, right? So mm-hmm. they... Because they experienced, or maybe are the like fourth generation survivors of the last time the Army of the Pillar was there, they view sentient murder robots as the inevitability of technology.
Okay, I like that.
I agree with him.
I do too. So fiercely anti-technological. What members of like I don't really want to get too far into the cast. Tiktani are very caste-based in terms of what species are there. Like, biologically, they have some working in the mines and others doing philosophy or whatever. Because everybody benefits from the good of the chorus. Everybody gets to experience it. So, if you were to encounter a dangerous member of this chorus, of the we'll call them the sentient chorus,
mm-hmm.
what bug would they resemble?
Let's look up some fun bugs.
Fun. I'm just going to type in fun bugs.
Antlions are one of my favorite.
I like antlions too. That's Ooh. Real spooky if we get into the fact that they literally live in a like under the ground of this town.
Yeah. Wait, are they still around? I thought they were gone.
But maybe that's what keeps too many people from going. People who live in the caldera are used to it. It's pretty fertile ground. They till it and they eat from it. But people around the caldera think it's bad luck to eat food from there, and they don't want to visit because they're convinced that the antlion people are living just below the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be cool?
Yes.
And everybody who lives up there thinks they're superstitious or something.
Kind of like Congo with the baboon. They
just like Congo.
No, identical
to
Congo.
This is exactly yeah. like Congo.
I'm just saying, if some of the antlions were still there.
I don't think they are.
Yeah.
I just think that's a good way to kind of set the tone, you know?
Yeah.
You'd be like, well, who were they? What did they do? And they're just like, oh, they are the sentient people. You know, if you're like, though, these monsters live up there or whatever, and they were the bane of Saturn. He's like, no, actually, that was them. That's what they look like. And antlions look really cool, right?
Antlions look brutal, dude.
Yeah.
They do look brutal. Shit.
Yeah, though, they're perfect.
I love it.
Mole crickets are creepy, too.
Yeah, but they're nice. They look crazy, but they're...
No, we're doing
relatively
antlions.
Passive bugs. Much like rhino beetles look really scary.
But with sentience comes violence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what? Sentience isn't required for violence, actually. And actually,
that's true.
If we're really going to go in like...
Well,
ultra-violence. Things that do violence, while humans do incredible violence, most people don't actually even get in fist fights anymore. So I don't know.
Asteroidal impacts are very violent.
Yeah.
Without intention, though.
Right.
I think ultraviolence is sentient. Like, a tiger could kill 1,000 people, but a human could easily kill 1,000 people.
There would be If India was America, there'd be no more tigers in existence.
Nope.
No.
they wouldn't put up with it.
Go check on the English wolves.
Yeah. Or the bears in California that are on their flag. Oh, did you hear that the first wolf in like 200 years was spotted in France?
Oh, no, really?
That's crazy.
Yeah, after the Beast of Gévaudan, like, you know, after that massive purge of wolves, yeah, one of the first ones was spotted. So I guess it's time for another purge, really, is
yeah.
that means.
Of the French or the wolves?
French.
Yeah. Let the wolves have it.
Yeah. France is for the wolves.
Hello, Boston. Okay, so I like this. I like their antlion people, fiercely Luddite. Does their magic have a theme? So anti-technology, for sure,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, that's one theme. Is there sacrifice involved in their magic?
No.
Maybe sunlight being a component, like controlling sunlight?
Maybe. I was thinking, like, they're antlions. They make stuff out of dirt and sand. And that's mm-hmm. their dirt and sand magic.
Golems?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think sunlight would be important to tunneling people, controlling it.
Mm-hmm.
Who have it in your tunnel, but I like the golem idea and building things out of sand.
Maybe turning things that are not natural, like turning technological constructions into usable resources instead. Like you would turn a, if somebody made a shovel, you could turn the handle of it into a tree and the head of it into, I don't know, what would you turn metal into that's like a close analog?
I don't know why you would turn it into anything if you had a shovel.
They don't like shovels, man. That's what I'm saying.
Why wouldn't they like shovels?
Their limbs are shovels.
So why would they? So what are they doing with the shovel? Then they just wouldn't use the shovel.
They would sacrifice the shovel. They'd turn the one piece into something edible, and then they'd make the I don't know, maybe just rust the metal or something.
Make paint.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a bad example.
I was really like, what would they do with metal?
Maybe just the idea that their magic is primarily transformative in that it turns things into natural resources, right? So like if they wanted to punish somebody who was caught making a pulley and lever system,
mm-hmm.
they would turn them into a tree, you know, or they would use magic to transform them into like a stupid plow beast that could till fields or turn them into soil or something.
Okay, I like that.
I like that a lot.
Okay. How do they leave behind their legacy? Because they're not like dwarves. They don't build these giant structures, but their tunnels are still there, and they have...
And you said they inscribed things.
Yeah, we can do inscriptions. We can do cave paintings, because cave paintings don't fade, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, as long as they're not exposed to sunlight.
Sunlight, yeah, they don't.
Yeah, I kind of like a ancient, extinct group of very scary Nazi druids, basically. That makes sense?
You had me a Nazi.
I prefer the druid part, but, you know.
Right. Let's say fascist druids.
Yeah.
That are scary with, like, crazy frescoes all over their walls about... And nobody can... Like, the frescoes are just representative, not instructive.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they're meant to, like, celebrate something. They're not meant to tell a story because they didn't have any need for the written word. You know, or
yeah.
The ability to tell stories in general because they're...
Tectonic, yeah.
Yeah, they have the chorus. Okay, I like this. I like that. So what kind of artifacts would you find? They would be things that would be like fetishes, right? Like some kind of natural thing that has been imbued with magic.
Idols, dolls.
Mm.
They like hats. They're really into hats.
I like that.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe like a skeleton with tree limb legs.
Okay.
You know.
It sounds like a doll. What level of technology would they accept? Earthenware pots?
Definitely. Well, I mean, the whole thing is that doesn't feel like, you know, earthenware pots don't scream robot to me. They would probably even make, like, simple tools wouldn't be outside of it. But
yeah, so shovels and plows and stuff like that.
But maybe even stuff with, like, axles, kind of, they're like, ooh, moving part, hate that, I hate that.
I'm just trying to think of what they wouldn't be able to do with their own bodies. You know what I mean? Because usually if you're trying to make a tool, there's probably a Tectani whose body can just do that.
Yeah.
They use obsidian, maybe?
I like that. Because they're in a caldera. There'll be a lot of it. A lot of volcanic glass. Okay. Lots of obsidian. Obsidian jewelry could be cool.
Yeah.
Imbued with magic and things like that. Mm-hmm. Daggers, knives, shields made of obsidian but magically enhanced.
Yeah.
Tiaras.
Hats. They're into hats.
Why do they live underground?
It's a status symbol thing.
They're hard hats.
Yeah, hard hats.
No. They're floppy cloth hats, and it's a status thing. That's okay. How they display status.
Like Catholic women in church?
Like all women in church.
Except Jewish women, they're not allowed to wear hats.
Or be in church.
That's why I said church and not temple.
Oh, okay.
More like, was it the Kentucky Derby?
Yeah. All right, I like that. Hair, they don't have hair. I was going to say hairpins. Okay.
Antlions kind of look like they have hair. They got
bristles.
They got bristles.
But wait, you could pin one bristle to another bristle, and that's about it.
There could be more dense bristles. Have you seen that weird frog that has hairy legs that breaks its own bones and uses them as claws?
No.
No.
That's a nightmare I think I've had once.
I will look it up. I think it's called like a hairy legged frog.
Jesus. It sounds horrible.
Oh, it's called the Wolverine frog.
Oh my God. Less so for the bone claws and more so because it has really hairy legs.
Yeah, it's a
crazy
it's
fucking animal.
It's real creepy. It's a real creepy thing. I don't remember why I read about that, but I did read that and went like, ooh, that's
also known as the horror frog.
Yes. It has the best names. I know. Isn't this ruining your fucking brain? By the way, we're just putting these straight up in the game.
Oh, these are definitely a monster. Oh my God, this is horrible.
Yeah, they're gross. They're super gross.
Okay, well.
Yeah, now that you're going to have nightmares.
Yep, I sure am. So I like that. I like the Ascension chorus. Lots of cave painting and frescoes. They're really into representative art and careful control of sunlight. They don't want it to touch their paintings, but they want to get enough into the hole so they can see.
Okay.
And they like to naturalize things.
Into that.
And they were ambush predators primarily.
Would they be into like landscapes?
It's a good question.
Like I doubt cubist cave paintings or anything.
Right. I don't know. That could be a thing. Like if they're upset with, if they want careful control of sunlight, they could be obsessed with like the perfect sunset or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like that image could be like their core, the image of their chorus.
All right.
That's awesome.
Okay. That gives us a lot to work with, I think. And vague enough to allow freedom to make what we want fit in there, you know. If we mm-hmm. if we get too much into their history and their culture, we're going to lock ourselves out of a lot.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
Look, as long as they're into hats, I'm happy.
All right, there's hats, Liam. They've got hats.
It's very important to me.
Finding Ascension hat is important because the idea is that you would wear it so you don't get too much sun in your eyes as you're waiting for the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that could be one of their names, like the sunset. Nobody knows their real name because they never wrote anything down. There's none of them left. So you could call them, like much like we refer to the people who built the Stonehenge as the beaker people,
mm-hmm.
you know, because mm-hmm. we don't know anything else about them except for that they were buried with their beer stein.
Yep.
So you call them like the sunset chorus. People call them the Sentients or the sunset chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about all we know. All right.
Yeah.
I like this. I feel good about it. And I think that's where we're going to end it tonight.
All right.
That's good. Gives us a lot to work with. And I look forward to gaming with you dudes real soon.
I want to be doing that too.
Okay, guys.
Nat 4.
You missed. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If the game we're making sounds interesting to you, check us out at patreon.com/RPGFS. $1 patrons get access to the cutting room floor, where all of the off-topic comedy that was cut out of episodes is curated for your enjoyment. $2 patrons get the updated character sheets that they can use to make their own characters in our system. $5 patrons get access to every rulebook we release as we update them. $10 patrons get to create custom NPCs for use in our actual play podcast, Layliners. Also, if you enjoy the show, please rate and review us on Podchaser and Apple Podcasts. Every review helps. If you want to reach out to us with your gameplay ideas, please comment on our Patreon or tag us on Twitter. We are at @homebrewhombres. Thank you all again, and until next time, stay safe, stand watch, and get a full rest.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.